Welcome everyone to the Simple Actions Group of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Amy and I am an alcoholic. Housekeeping, we will only be recording and publishing the audio portion of this meeting. You can sign up for email or listen to previously recorded meetings on our website at simpleactions.net. For those who care to join us, let's open the meeting with the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. The Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance tonight. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use this room and the restrooms exclusively. Newcomers, is there anyone in their first 30 days of sobriety? We would like to welcome you. On Zoom, you can raise your hand and someone will chat with you. Yes, Aaron. Hi, Aaron.
Hi, my name is Aaron. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Aaron. Hi, Aaron. Welcome.
I guess it's my new DOS. I stopped smoking pot, so.
Right on. Welcome. At this time, please, was there anybody on? I don't need to do anything else. At this time, please silence your cell phones. Also, we respectfully ask that those present, please refrain from unnecessary moving around the room. This will keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. This group practices the spiritual foundations of anonymity, singleness of purpose, and effective sponsorship. As a group, we believe that the book Alcoholics Anonymous provides alcoholics with a set of clear directions on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism based on simple actions. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on how precisely to recover from the illness of alcoholism by taking AA's simple action. This is the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the steps discussed tonight. This evening, we are discussing steps 5, 6, and 7. Please join me in welcoming our panel. We have Scott and Morgan. Okay, step 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. Step 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove these defects of character. And step 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. I'm going to begin the reading on page 72. Having made our personal inventory, what shall we do about it? We have been trying to get a new attitude, a new relationship with our Creator, and to discover the obstacles in our path. We have admitted certain defects. We have ascertained in a rough way what the trouble is. We have put our finger on the weak items in our personal inventory. Now these are about to be cast out. This requires action on our part, which when completed will mean that we have admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our defects. This brings us to the 5th step in the program of recovery mentioned in the preceding chapter. This is perhaps difficult, especially discussing our defects with another person. We think we have done well enough in admitting these things to ourselves. There is doubt about that. In actual practice, we usually find a solitary self-appraisal insufficient. Many of us thought it necessary to go much further. We will be more reconciled to discussing ourselves with another person when we see good reasons why we should do so. The best reason first. If we skip this vital step, we may not overcome drinking. Time after time, newcomers have tried to keep to themselves certain facts about their lives. Trying to avoid this humbling experience, they have turned to easier methods. Almost invariably, they got drunk. Having persevered with the rest of the program, they wondered why they fell. We think the reason is they never completed their house cleaning. They took inventory all right, but hung on to some of the worst items in stock. They only thought they had lost their egoism and fear. They only thought they had humbled themselves, but they had not learned enough of humility, fearlessness, and honesty in the sense we find it necessary until they told someone else all their life story. Who wants to go first?
Scott.
Well, thank you. Scott, an alcoholic. This is perhaps difficult. You know, I kind of laugh at the perhaps. Who chose to put the word perhaps in there? This is the step that kept me away from AA. I was not interested in doing an inventory all that much. And I was certainly not interested at all in doing an inventory and sharing it with another human being. I'll save until the next reading what happened when I first did that unintentionally outside of AA. But the part that caught my attention, you know, when I was reading over this before tonight is the idea of, you know, having persevered, where it says having persevered with the rest of the program, they wondered why they fell. Or in my case, you know, I didn't fall. I just didn't get in with the program. I didn't do anything to make life and recovery easier on myself because I wasn't interested in sharing my defects with other people. That's really kind of why I drank to begin with, because I thought, well, I'll just hide these defects. I'll just be too drunk to care that I have them. So this was most indeed difficult to me, or so I thought. There was no perhaps about it. But where it writes about, you know, those who persevered or thought they persevered, what I discovered was the reason it seemed difficult is because I really had not adequately addressed steps 1, 2, 3, or 1, 2, and 3 primarily. Powerlessness, you know, that I need to do this. It's not just to give myself some moral high ground or to make me more of a saint or a better person. This is a part of a process that I have to do or I will get drunk. And if I continue drinking, I probably will die. If my family history, you know, or criminal career, if any of that is evidence. So that's the part I connected with tonight, this idea of they never completed their house cleaning, hanging on to the worst items in stock. The reason I avoided AA, fear mainly, and ego. I'm better than you people. I don't need this. I mean, I quit drinking. Thank you very much. You keep coming to your meetings if you want, but I don't need this. But I realized later on that was very much ego, because I realized also I didn't just quit drinking. I mean, sure, I quit drinking, but there are a lot of times before that that didn't work. And so it came to me slowly over a period of time. There must have been a power greater than me who removed that compulsion. And then there's a whole different story or different angle kind of, you know, the God of my understanding and unconditional acceptance and all that. But until I really got into that, then I was not in any place where I was willing to do this. So for me, it was very much about backing up. We read a little bit more later on about making sure the mortar is set and all that kind of thing. And I needed to do that. Or could have sped the process up a great deal if I'd done that directly, but I didn't. All the fear and things that I held on to kept me away from AA for a number of years after I quit drinking. Even after I read this, I understood why it was a good idea. You know, where it says at the beginning, it is to get a new attitude, a new relationship with our Creator. So for me, that all kind of points back to first admitting that I'm powerless, otherwise I wouldn't be doing this to begin with, and then really talking about or thinking about step 2 and 3 and getting a foundation on that, coming to know this God of my understanding, or just this group of drunks sitting here in this room tonight, which is a power greater than me. And I had to really embrace that before I even started talking about a fourth step or a fifth step. So took me a lot longer than it did for most, but once I was able to do that, then things started to improve dramatically. Thanks.
Thanks, Scott. Morgan.
My name is Morgan. I'm an alcoholic.
Morgan.
I love that this chapter is called Into Action. I have underneath it, not into thinking, as a reminder to myself that I can't think my way through anything that the book is going to tell me. The first paragraph I have under every time it says we, actually through this entire section, I have underlined. I'm not special. I'm not being pointed out. It's not like anything like that. We have all, if we have taken the steps and are going through this with a sponsor, we will inevitably do this step. So I'm not special or anything like that. I love that it says it requires action on our part. I can't just do my inventory and sit on it. And that's, if I get to this point, I guess backing up a little bit, I've done 1, 2, and 3. I've admitted I'm powerless over alcohol. I've built a foundation with the God of my understanding. And I've taken this inventory honestly, thoroughly. And hopefully, if I've done it honestly and thoroughly, I haven't left anything out. And for me, that took a lot in and of itself, which is kind of funny because I'm the one who did all these things to begin with. I'm so ashamed to even put it on paper. It's one thing to mentally think through it for me, but to put it on paper, kind of like looking in the mirror and seeing how ugly I was at that point. And then it says, we admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our defects. I did not want to tell my sponsor or any other person what I had done, because anything I did, it definitely was worse than anyone, you know, like she's going to judge me. She's going to talk behind my back, all these things. But it tells me a solitary self-appraisal is insufficient. And that if I do skip this vital step, I may not overcome it. And that is something that I was so fearful of. I knew how I had been drinking. I saw it starting to impact my life, and my health. And at that point I had reached a second bottom. I didn't know there was a basement, but there was. And so I was so ready to get rid of this shit that I had gone to bed thinking about every night for God knows how long, things that I did drunk, things I did sober. So it became evident that I would have to do this part where it talks about trying to avoid the humbling experience. Boy, was it humbling. But it says, if we don't do this, we've turned to easier, softer methods, and almost invariably got drunk. And that kind of goes back to, I didn't want to drink again. I knew I couldn't drink again. And the last part it was one of my favorites when it talks about holding on to the worst things, only thinking we had lost our egoism and fear, only thought that we had been humble. I was just so worried that, like I said, that my sponsor was going to tell other people, that there was going to be gossip about me. When we had set apart a day, and she literally said, you see this book? I don't know anyone's stuff. I don't know who this pertains to. Like, I'm not going to remember. And I thought to myself, this bee, like, how dare she not remember me? I'm like memorable. And then I was going through my fifth step, and she's like, done that, similar. Like, like, overall, I am not unique in anything that I've ever done. it's funny. You know, and she was scribbling notes, and I was like, what is this girl writing? Like, because obviously I had never been through the process. I didn't know what she was doing. And I had something else, but it's gone now. So maybe it'll come back to me.
Thanks, Morgan. We're going to pick up the reading on page 73. More than most people, the alcoholic leads a double life. He is very much the actor. To the outer world, he presents his stage character. This is the one he likes his fellows to see. He wants to enjoy a certain reputation, but knows in his heart he doesn't deserve it. The inconsistency is made worse by the things he does on his sprees. Coming to his senses, he is revolted at certain episodes he vaguely remembers. These memories are a nightmare. He trembles to think someone might have observed him. As fast as he can, he pushes these memories far inside himself. He hopes they will never see the light of day. He is under constant fear and tension. That makes for more drinking. Scott?
Scott, still alcoholic. The beginning of that reminds me of, yet again, why I hated AA. Like, the alcoholic leads a double life. I mean, I knew I probably should stop drinking after the first DUI, and definitely after the second. And there wasn't a whole lot of doubt at all after the third. But even after the third, there was still a part of drinking that was appealing. Because as drinking didn't bring me joy anymore, but it took away some of the part of life that I hated. I hated it just a little bit less when I was drunk. So I didn't, I knew I'd been to enough AA meetings. I'd seen the people laughing and having a great time and sharing with each other and appearing to be equals. Whereas, you know, I always felt like I was just kind of walking on this surface that was about a foot below everybody else. I'm just not there. And so I never wanted to get into the AA thing because I thought those people really want to quit. And I'm not sure. I mean, I think I do. I kind of want a bit of back and forth and back and forth. So I quit drinking and I knew I couldn't just leave a hole in my life. I need to fill it with something. I'm enjoying the Appalachian Trail Club. And this relates to the fifth step because that's where I had the God of my understanding having a great sense of humor and said, all right, you go away from AA then. I'm going to give you some steps where you least expect it. And I met some people who lived like 5 miles from where I lived and they just kind of took me in like family. And I was, you know, we had dinner a lot. We went on trips together and did all this stuff. And you know, where it says here, he is under constant fear and tension. Now, thankfully for me, it didn't make for more drinking, but I thought they're going to ask me why I don't drive. And then I'm going to have to explain this whole thing about the three DUIs and how the Commonwealth asked me, please not get behind the wheel of a motor vehicle for an indefinite amount of time. And not even like, oh, I just got another year to go. It's like, I don't know. They just said, don't call us. And so every time, you know, I knew these people, I mean, it was probably a year, maybe longer. Every time we get together in the back of my head, you know, they're going to ask. They're going to ask me why don't I drive? And they never showed any, they weren't upset about it. We didn't live far away and they didn't mind coming to pick me up. I know it. I know they're going to, and sure enough, they did. We were going on a camping trip one weekend and they said, how come you don't drive? It's like, I just froze. This is the moment I've been dreading. And I said, well, I knew enough at least that honesty was the answer. So I just, you know, I got a couple DUIs when I was in college and I don't have my license right now. And they said, shame on you. And went right on to the next part of the conversation. Was that it? That is what I spent probably a year or more dreading, that conversation. And it just wasn't that big a deal at all. They didn't throw me out of the car. They didn't stop in the middle of the interstate. Said, how could that? It was a complete non-event. And not until later did I realize, you know, that's that fifth step thing. I'm sharing with someone else the things that I'm embarrassed about, the things that I'm afraid of, the things that I won't go to a meeting about because they're all... And nothing went wrong. It was not tragic. In fact, I feel a hell of a lot better because now it was this part where it talks about walking hand in hand with the spirit of the universe. I mean, wow, what a load off my shoulders. Now, of course, maybe the smart thing would have been to go to AA right then. I still avoided it for a while longer. It wasn't until I tried this relationship and sobriety thing that's actually what drove me back to AA. But as it relates to the fifth step, so even my intent to run away from it all, fifth step, sharing with another alcoholic, nope, not interested. Then the God of my understanding still kind of led me right back to it. And once I realized, you know, it's the anticipation that sucks. It's not the actual event. Once it happens, I'm feeling a whole lot better that I got this off my chest. And that continued when I actually did go to AA and I did get a sponsor. I sat across from his kitchen table and I told him all the awful things that I did. And he said, eh. And then we went out to lunch. I mean, it was like, oh my gosh, this is just not the big deal that I thought it was. And most people are not hard-headed enough to have to go through that outside AA only to be driven back to it. So if you're in the program, don't feel you need to look elsewhere. You can do fine, you know, right here. But that was kind of my story. And the rest of it is, I mean, it was absolutely true. Constant fear and tension. And thankfully for me, that didn't lead to more drinking. But it could even today. You know, I've been sober for a little while. And if I hide things, the more I hide, the worse I feel. So apparently this stuff still works some number of years later. Thanks.
Alcoholic. Oh, I love this paragraph because it really describes me. It's kind of talking about, at least for me, it's like the wheel of the spring. It's like, oh, I feel guilty. I whatever, get drunk. That was me. I do these things. Like the book says earlier, we do insane and tragic things while we're drinking. And that's what I did. I did these things while I was drunk that I would never even think about doing while I was sober. And I'd sober up and then I would be gently reminded by other people what I had done, or there would be evidence somehow. And I would feel disgusting, rotting, like from the inside out is really what it felt like. And I would kind of spiral from there and think about all the other things I had done. And it just kept building for me. That fear and tension that it talks about, I can like almost feel it if I think about it too long. And I never want to feel that again. And I don't have to if I continue to do the work as outlined in the book. you know, that fear intention that it unfortunately did lead me to drink more. I didn't want to even think about what I had done, the people I had hurt. No one likes to think about how they hurt their mom while they were just trying, like, she's just trying to be helpful. Just the nasty things, not showing up for people, just kind of makes you feel pretty rotten. And that was what I had experienced up until actually doing my fifth step with my sponsor. Every time the second thought is gone, it must not be so important. That's what I got, Amy.
Okay. We're going to pick up on page 75. When we decide who is to hear our story, we waste no time. We have a written inventory and we are prepared for a long talk. We explain to our partner what we are about to do and why we have to do it. He should realize that we are engaged upon a life and death errand. Most people approached in this way will be glad to help. They will be honored by our confidence. We pocket our pride and go to it, illuminating every twist of character, every dark cranny of the past. Once we have taken this step, withholding nothing, we are delighted. We can now look the world in the eye. We can be alone at perfect peace and ease. Our fears fall from us. We begin to feel the nearness of our Creator. We may have had certain spiritual beliefs, but now we begin to have a spiritual experience. The feeling that the drink problem has disappeared will often come strongly. We feel we are on the broad highway, walking hand in hand with the spirit of the universe.
On the broad highway, walking hand in hand with the spirit of the universe. There's some things that I read early on that just, this is just too much. I mean, come on. I'll feel better. Okay, I'll deal with that. Or I'll lead a more moral life. Okay, so, but walking hand in hand with the spirit of the universe? Really? But I did feel much better after sitting down with the sponsor and doing all this stuff that I was supposed to have done all along. Then it did make me feel better. Amy said, yeah, I didn't mean to invite you back to speak again on the exact same topic you spoke here last time. And I said, don't worry, it's all old material anyway. And I realized I actually had some new material in between now and the last time around. You know, I like to say I did all this right, but of course I didn't. I did not share everything. I shared a lot. I shared pretty much everything with sponsor, and I felt a whole lot better, and I haven't been drunk since. So I guess that kind of worked, but there was one particular thing that I did not share, nor am I going to share it here. But this past summer, I was sitting at Northside Park with a sponsee, and he was doing his fifth step, and he shares the one thing that I would never share. It's like, oh my gosh, he did it too. It didn't come up with my sponsor when we were doing it, but in sponsoring someone else, then this guy sits down and he says, yeah, I did that. I thought, oh my gosh, I had never told him before. And so we get to connect. And that really did get pretty close to walking hand in hand with the spirit of the universe at that point, because I realized that even when I screw things up, which I do daily, but even when I do like screw big stuff up, because it's very clear here, it says we hold back nothing. It doesn't say ADA, hold back just a little bit. It says hold back nothing. And I held stuff back anyway, stayed sober for a number of years and was okay. But even then, the God of my understanding kind of bring me back around and say, look, see, you should have talked about that. But since you didn't, I'm going to put somebody in your life who's going to share about this particular thing to remind you, you are not alone. And so I'm extremely thankful in ways I never could have predicted. It is pretty much true. I am walking hand in hand with the spirit of the universe today when I don't let my ego get in the way of that. But so I'm thrilled to be here tonight, because this was not where I planned on being when I quit drinking. You know, good place to be. Thanks.
Thanks, Scott.
This part that says he should realize that we are engaged upon a life and death errand. That really struck me. I had obviously read, not obviously, but my sponsor and I read through step five, did my fifth step. And that part kind of shook me awake. Like, I absolutely have to do this. I can't get drunk again. If I don't do this, I will drink myself to death. This kind of what my thought was. And I thought that second paragraph, I have fifth step promises. I thought it was a bunch of bullshit to keep me around and tell my dirty secrets or something. I don't know what I thought was going to happen. But today, like, the biggest gift of doing this was the being alone with perfect peace. That is like, I don't know, it just sounds like something unimaginable for someone who couldn't be alone, because I'm just bombarded with these thoughts. I'm drinking because I'm bombarded with these. To be able to just sit, you know, in quiet meditation or whatever it might be, and not be worried about it, literally anything. What a blessing of this program. Our fears fall from us. I can't even imagine not being fearful. And that doesn't mean that I am not plagued by fear, even after doing the fifth step. But most of my fears, you know, I'm able to categorize them as I did in my fourth step. And if it's something I can control, then so be it. If I can't, then I might as well just give it up to God. Why am I fearful over it? The feeling that the drink problem has disappeared will often come strongly. I don't know when that happened. I couldn't tell you, but after a while, you know, just thinking, I haven't thought about a drink in a while. That's pretty cool. And that last part that Scott was talking about, the broad highway, I thought that was the biggest load of shit. But the more I continue to do the program, I do continue to get closer to my higher power. I don't know if I'm on the broad highway or what, but it feels pretty good.
Thank you. We're going to continue the reading on page 75. Returning home, we find a place where we can be quiet for an hour, carefully reviewing what we have done. We thank God from the bottom of our heart that we know him better. Taking this book down from our shelf, we turn to the page which contains the 12 steps. Carefully reading the first five proposals, we ask if we have omitted anything, for we are building an arch through which we shall walk a free man at last. Is our work solid so far? Are the stones properly in place? Have we skimped on the cement put into the foundation? Have we tried to make mortar without sand? No, you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure. I think I missed this part last time too. Let's see. I guess I spoke about that a little bit earlier. You know, I'm not sure I was quiet for an hour. It's a good idea though. And I recommended that to sponsees when they do it. Carefully reviewing what we have done, thanking God from the bottom of our heart that we know him better. That, see, all this to me just kind of points back, like I mentioned earlier, to the steps that precede this one. And none of them were quite as terrifying as step four and five were. But two and three, or three in particular, turning my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand, I don't like that idea. I mean, is that going to put me on a mission field in India or something, or somewhere that I really got no interest in being? But I like how it says, you know, from the very first thing we read tonight, it talks about this whole step five and moving into step six. This is all about, you know, coming to understand our Creator better. You know, it says somewhere else in the book that this whole book, the purpose of this book is to have a spiritual experience which will relieve us from the compulsion to drink. And so that becomes, you know, I read that early on, but it never really carried the weight that it carries for me today. Today I consider it's all about the you know, I believe that I have a choice to drink. I could drink tonight. I'm not interested in it, because this is a gift to be able to sit here in the company of people like myself who used to not be able to control their drinking and found some way to stop, that I get to share that tonight. That's awesome. And that's, I think of that when I think of, you know, we thank God from the bottom of our heart that we know him better, because I wasn't interested in getting to know God. I didn't like him a whole lot. He had allowed some things to happen in my life that I didn't think were right. And the idea of turning my will and my life over to him, I could not have known, you know, I quit drinking in 1997, and I could not have known that, you know, 25 years later, I'd be back in an AA meeting because I wanted to be. I would have pictured that something else had gone wrong. I could not have known that I have gotten, you know, instead of drinking my driver's license away, I'm entitled to drive again in the Commonwealth. And I actually have a job that with a license issued by the Commonwealth. I would not have predicted in 1997 that I would be going into work tomorrow morning to try and teach, you know, 18, 4 and 5 year olds a few things, that parents would trust me with their kids every day. These are things that are not possible when I drink. So I think of that when I think of, you know, we thank God from the bottom of our heart that we know him better, because I thought it was going to be something big and dramatic. You know, I expected God to appear for me, bolt of lightning, and give me specific directions. It doesn't happen that way. Much of my life is pretty mundane and ordinary and boring. In a good and wonderful way, because it doesn't involve going to jail anymore, except when I get to walk out again. That's kind of cool. I mean, I've been to rehabs like monthly for the last couple of years, but I get to leave after an hour because I get to share with them things that have happened in my life that I didn't expect to. But all of that to me is founded on this part about, you know, are the stones properly in place? Because the compulsion to drink is removed daily based on the maintenance of a spiritual condition, which may mean going to church. I still do. I find that useful. Or may mean tonight sharing that I have found a way to get through each day without being drunk. That's a spiritual thing, to recognize that I'm not alone. All of those things I have to do on a regular basis. And in long-term sobriety, I think, can we skip over some of this? I mean, I've done the steps, right? I mean, I'm not drinking today. It's all good. But I don't know how long that's going to last. And I tend to think it's going to last longer than it does. Like, I'm all right, right? You know, the spiritual gauge is probably about half. Well, there is no gauge. You know, I know how much gas I have in my car. I mean, yesterday I drove just down I got 2 miles left. I'm plenty to get right to the gas station. And I'll do that with a spiritual way of living too, if I'm not careful. But which is why I get to come to meetings like this, where it tells me, thank God from the bottom of your heart that you know him better. Language that would have repulsed me to say before. But that really is today why I believe that compulsion is gone. It hasn't returned today. And I'm reasonably sure if I do what I need to do tomorrow, it's not going to come back then. So thanks.
Thanks, Scott.
I remember returning home. My sponsor told me to be quiet for an hour and just reflect. And I remember thinking, whole hour? Like, I got shit to do. I got to do laundry and like vacuum and stuff. But I like heard her and she's like, an hour. So I set a timer if you have to. So I did. And I remember racking my brain to think, like, did I leave anything out? Did I leave anything out? Like, if I leave anything out, I'm going to get drunk. And just like panic thinking through my last 27 years, like, what did I leave out? And, you know, I think one or two things came up. And I took notes so I could call my sponsor after and talk through them. And I didn't make it quite a whole hour, pretty close. And I frantically called my sponsor and told her, and she said, did you get drunk in that time? And I said, well, there you go. We're talking about it now. Like, do I got to do any extra work on it? Like, because I forgot it. She said, no. You know, it all... no new character defects, which she had kindly given me a list when we finished the fifth step. No new ones I had to write down. It was already covered. You know, and just, you know, nothing, as long as I'm willing to call my sponsor and talk through whatever might come up, which should be all right. If I've done an honest fourth and fifth step, you know, little things as I remain sober, sometimes I'm still like, oh shit, this happened like this time, and I just call her and we go through it and it's a done deal. It's not too crazy. And I'm pretty sure I prayed before and after the fifth step. I don't remember it, but today when I do to fifth step, either with my sponsor or another sober member of AA or even my husband, I find myself praying and thanking God for the opportunity. And I find that very peculiar as someone who had no want to have a God in my life. And I truly think that's a program, that continuation of relationship building with my higher power as I can through these steps. There's something on the tip of my tongue and I lose it. Must not be important.
All right, we're going to pick up on page 76. If we can answer to our satisfaction, we then look at step 6. We have emphasized willingness as being indispensable. Are we now ready to let God remove from us all the things which we have admitted are objectionable? Can he now take them all, every one? If we still cling to something, we will not let go. We ask God to help us be willing. Scott?
I loved this step when I first read it. especially after 4 and 5, that just seems so ridiculously easy. Really? I just say, God, take them away. Sweet. Done. Next. Moving right along. And that's probably, you know, it's interesting the way that kind of works in the big book. It's true. The big book tells us everything we need to know, but it's been very useful for me to read elsewhere, including the 12 and 12 and books like Drop the Rock, which explain a lot more to me, because even though it's all laid out here, you know, I was willing to just kind of sit back and ask God, hey, take that away from me if you don't mind. It's like, well, damn it, that idiot just cut me off. He didn't take the anger away. I guess it's not my day to have that defect taken away. And only to realize that's it's not really the way I'm supposed to be looking at it, that I need to act as if those defects have been taken away. It's, ooh, I don't like that at all. I mean, and I didn't understand any of that when I first quit drinking. And I love to say I'm past that challenge now, but I'm not. I like being angry. I like thinking over and over again in my head, 12 different ways to tell you that you were wrong. And imagining all these different, I mean, I've done all the steps. I've done all 12 of them over and over again. And I still do this from time to time. And I realize wherever it says in the big book, you know, that even righteous anger is the dubious luxury of the non-alcoholic, or however it words it. I mean, I don't have the luxury even of being righteously angry. And I have other character defects, but that's one of the ones I go back to the most often. I realize I get an energy out of that, and it's not entirely unlike drinking. You know, I don't act as stupidly when I'm angry as I did when I'm drunk. I haven't wound up in jail for being angry as I did for when I'm drunk. But there's nothing to me that's spiritual about holding on to these old ideas of ways that I was right and you were wrong. And so I would pray, God, I should be less angry. But no, there's a role I have to play. I can't get rid of it. It does say that I ask God to remove these defects, but I have to be willing to do my part. I don't know if I heard it in AA or elsewhere, but I heard this saying that even God can't steer a parked car. Like, I've got to be in motion. I've got to be doing something if I want that defect to get any better than it has been. And that to me is becoming more evident as I get farther into sobriety than it was when I was earlier on. It's 10, 11, and 12 are called the maintenance steps. And there, I'll leave that debate as whether they're maintenance or growth. Somebody else can argue that. But I'm beginning to think, for me personally anyway, step 6 and 7 are where the growth need to take place. Because that's how I manage not just to be sober, not just to be not drunk, but to be more of a decent person than maybe I was yesterday, to find some serenity in life and to find that peace, you know, where it spoke earlier, we can be alone at perfect peace and ease. Well, it says can, it doesn't guarantee that I will be, because I'm not always. And in those times when I'm not, it's probably because I've got something going through my head that I may have asked God to let go of, but am I doing anything about it? You know, it said earlier, step 5 was a great way to do something about it. That's how we begin. But I can do, even if it means calling another alcoholic, or even if it means being at work, instead of being pissed about what somebody didn't do, how can I help another coworker, rather than arguing with this one that I think did something the wrong way? And so those are just little examples day to day of where I need to implement step 6 and 7 on a daily basis, much like that daily maintenance of the spiritual condition. And I'm coming to believe that the people I see in life who are happier and more positive than I am are doing this more consistently than I am. And that's where the real growth is taking place. And a step I was willing to just read once and be done with. Yep, God, take it away. I've got a role to play in that, and I have to be aware of that. Thanks.
I thought step 6 was also read, check mark, let's go. Like, we're done. I acknowledged it, but no. My sponsor had a little bit of work for me. She had been very kind to give me a list of my defects at the end of step 5. And then she told me we need to actively work in basically the opposite direction. So I had to come up with what was the opposite of each one of my defects and how I can best act that way, which I thought was a tall task at the time. You're telling me that I need to communicate with my partner. How dare you? But that was just my thought at the time. And asking for my defects to be taken away. Some of them I like even today, I like them. They're useful. But it's really like, for me, how I am I trying to be the director is one of the questions. Like, when I'm not willing to to work in the opposite fashion if I'm not willing to communicate, or if I'm letting my pride, ego, expectations get in the way. Am I blocking myself off from what God wants me to do and the actions that I should be taking? I felt like step six was a little bit of a grieving process for me. Because like I said, I liked my defects, some of them. I was willing to take the ones that were pretty shitty too, because I don't like change. I don't want to be selfless. It's kind of funny. And when it says, now take them all, everyone, I don't get to pick and choose. I wish someone would have told me that before I started getting into this. But no, I'll save the rest for the next passage. That one's a good one.
All right. We're going to conclude on page 76. When ready, we say something like this. My creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen. We have then completed step seven.
Yeah, as was shared earlier, that's whether many of us exclaimed what a tall order, I surely did. Every defect, each and every one, even the ones that I like. I mean, what's like that part of the 12 and 12 where it says I'll be the hole in the donut if you take away all of my character defects, what's left of me? But that prayer, I appreciate again this a lot more than when I read it the first time around, because I'm pretty sure I read it through and said, oh, that sounds kind of nice, and moved on to whatever step eight held, because that's what I'm really thinking about. Now I got to write down all these people that I got to make amends to. Then I'm going to let my fears carry me right into step nine. So, step seven. Let's just look at step seven. And there's quite a lot there in that prayer. You know, I am now willing that you should have all of me, like every bit. What about like Sunday morning? That would be okay. Or maybe even Monday 9 to 5, that's all right. But does that have to include Friday night and Saturday night? I mean, all of me. But then I have to remember, yeah, powerless. If this is really this proposition of all or nothing, like it says elsewhere in the 12 and 12, God either is or he isn't, then I guess I do kind of have to be willing. That doesn't mean, of course, that I'm going to approach sainthood anytime soon and do any of this and you know, completely, or even that I'm going to complete it. As it says, we have then completed step seven. Wouldn't I like to highlight that one? All done. But again, it comes to me in practical terms. You know, grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. What does that look like? It means like, oh, would you like to speak tonight? No, I would not. Thank you very much. It's been a long day at work. I want to go home. I want to watch a movie. I want to go to bed. I do not want to speak. Like, oh, but it says, grant me the strength to do your bidding. Probably would be a God thing that I go and talk. Would you like to sit right here in front of the microphone staring you in the face? No, I would not. But does it matter? No. So little things like that. And I think that's how the people in long-term sobriety, that's how it adds up. I think it's just the bit by bit. I've not made one big dramatic grand decision except to quit drinking. That was a big one. But other than that, they just add up over the years, bit by bit, little bit by little bit. Someone says, hey, would you like to do this? And on my snottier days, I said, no. But I will. You know, I haven't gotten to the point where I say, yes, and thank you for answering. That's a different spiritual plane. I'm working my way up to it. But there's a practical element to that. You know, the remove every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you. That will be revealed daily too, I think. You know, I want the big list. And can you take them all away and keep them taken away? But no, it seems to keep going back to that daily thing. Tomorrow morning, damn it, I'm going to have to get up again and do something spiritual. And I don't think that about breakfast. I don't get out of bed in the morning and think, damn, do I have to have breakfast again? I look forward to it. And I've come to look forward a little more to the spiritual growth than I used to. But that's what I got there.
Thanks. Scott. Morgan, you going to finish us off?
Sure. Can I? Ditto. I'm just kidding. I really like this prayer. And I will say most days, not every day, but most days, this is part of my morning routine, because when I wake up, I've got a whole list. I've got all the ideas. My character defects are probably at an all-time high first thing. And so it's something about adding this to my daily routine allows me to come a little bit more centered. You know, I read On Awakening, and it tells me I'm undisciplined. And so I go through my prayers, and it says, remove from me every single defect of character, which stands in my way, usefulness to you and my fellows. Meaning I'm probably going to be useful if I am somewhat connected and not being a total shit in that particular day. Going out to do your bidding, you know, I end usually this prayer with like, God, please direct my thoughts and action. And sometimes that's it. Because I like some of my character defects, good or bad. So being able to just kind of turn over all of it, it's kind of comforting to know that my thoughts and actions might be directed. And that's my goal each day, is to not to crosstalk, but like what Scott said, do I want to share on a Monday after I've had a shit week on Monday? No, I don't. I was thinking earlier, can I cancel on Amy? No, I had to cancel last time because I was sick. Damn it. But what a blessing to be here on a Monday night. It's a great day to be sober. It really is.
Right on. All right, we're going to pass the baskets in accordance with the seventh tradition. The seventh tradition states that every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their inner group, central office, local services, district, area, and the general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose to help the alcoholic who still suffers. Our common welfare, a word about safety. Our group endeavors to provide a safe meeting place for all attendees and encourages each person here to contribute to fostering a secure and welcoming environment in which our meetings can take place. Announcements. Are there any AA related announcements? Yes.
Go ahead, David.
Alcoholic David.
David.
This is really just for Simple Actions members. We have an inventory coming up this Saturday at this location. It's supposed to start at 9 sharp. So this Saturday.
Morgan.
My name is Morgan. I'm still an alcoholic. AA 101 is having their anniversary celebration on January 29th. Don't ask me what number year it is, because I honestly don't. But they are having breakfast provided. They said that there's bacon and at least food starts at 10, panel or single speaker to be determined, happening at 11, Sentara Heart Hospital.
Thank you. Thanks. Anybody else? Okay. Simple Actions is a home group. If you are interested in joining our home group or in need of a sponsor, please hang out after the meeting. Home group members, please raise your hands. Literature is available on that table over there. Please see me or any home group member after the meeting if you would like to purchase a big book. Sponsorship. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, we will be available here after we close the meeting. Please feel free to talk to any of us. If you're shy, you can send an email to info@simpleactions.net. Someone will get back to you. Reminders, smokers, please use the butt can provided outside. Stay well away from the church doors. All meeting audio recordings and upcoming events are posted on our website, simpleactions.net. Meeting after the meeting. All are invited and encouraged to join us for fellowship at the meeting after the meeting that will be held at Plaza del Sol on 22nd and Colonial Avenue. In closing, can we all thank Scott and Morgan again? Thanks to all who participated. After the Lord's Prayer, everyone will have a chance to come up and say thank you to them individually. And Frank has volunteered to read the last few paragraphs on page 164.
Frank, still an alcoholic.
Hey, Frank.
A vision for you, big book, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him, to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. You will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless and keep you.
All right, we have a nice way of closing. Our Father.
Our Father.
Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Yay.
Good job.
That was
Last time was good.